you eat your spam and punch a cyclist and you do you, and I'll just be over here in my gross little bed loving my football manager. See you later.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Some respect to your pure authority. Don't make a flex, don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority with me, Jackie Weaver. Every episode, a famous face joins me as we answer life's big, unanswered questions. The really important stuff, like, is a Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? If this is your first time listening, welcome along. There's plenty of episodes to get your teeth into, including Jack Whitehall, Jay Rayner, and the Rev Kate Botley. Oh, and Jeremy Vine. You can always ask a question by emailing Jackie at giddyauntcomedy.com. And if you like what you hear, make sure you follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter for updates and news, and at Jackie Weaver on Twitter for pictures of my nails. Oh, and scones. Right, on with the show. Today's guest is a comedian, author, and actor. It's Laura Lex. Hello, Laura, and
Hi.
Welcome to, I don't think I've said this before, welcome to my podcast.
It's a fun thing to say, isn't it?
I kind of feel it's official now. I mean, we've done one or two, I have to admit, but I don't think I've ever said that before. So for people who perhaps don't know the range of what you do, introduce yourself to us.
I am a comedian and writer nowadays, and that's my main jams is comedy and writing.
How much authority do you think you have for answering these difficult and challenging questions that have been raised by difficult and challenging members of the public?
Next to zero. I think I'm have opinions, but I don't like to be in charge of other people's stuff, so no authority, I reckon.
Oh, well, that rather puts quite a lot back on me. Let's see if we can do it together.
All right, yeah, I'm happy to influence, but I don't want to be authoritative.
Okay, Big David. I don't know what's big about David, but Big David, I cycle to work and I hate drivers. Well, it's an opinion. But I also drive sometimes. When I do, I hate cyclists. Who would win in this fistfight? I mean, have you ever heard of anybody so conflicted as that?
Yes. I think what Big David has completely misunderstood there is that he doesn't hate cyclists and drivers. He hates people.
Okay.
See, I'm a cyclist and a driver, and drivers do give you a lot of stick when you're a cyclist, and you think, you wouldn't be speaking to me like this if it was yesterday and I was in my car. But the fact that I'm now on my bike, you think I'm a radically different person. So maybe it's me and David in a fist fight against everybody else because we just both hate people.
Okay, we'll try and make that connection. I think it would be better, though, if you were going out on a date with David, if you either decided you were both going in your cars or you were both going on your bikes.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way this is going to work.
Yeah. I'd give, if it was the fist fight between a cyclist and a driver, I'd give it to the cyclist because you'd think just in stamina, they're probably got the one up in fitness terms.
Well, I think there's another point there. Well, at least two points that I can think of. One, they're wearing a helmet. And two, how long is it going to take the driver to get the seatbelt off?
True. Yes. You've been in some roadside fights, haven't you?
I couldn't possibly say. What irritates me, and it doesn't matter whether you're a cyclist or a driver, is that you're inconsiderate. And what's inconsiderate is a lot of lycra-clad, usually, men, not always, you know, kind of as a slow-moving block down the road. And I that does bring out the crossness in me. I'm also a very nervous overtaker. And frankly, the bikes will have to stop before I'll overtake them. So I suppose in many ways I'm more frustrated about me than I am about the cyclist. You know, could you just stop so I can get past you?
Yeah.
Too much to ask. That's a strange one. Marie on Twitter wants to know, men with side partings, I didn't think this was unusual, should they be banished to a remote island? What have men started doing with their hair that I haven't noticed?
Is there something wrong with a side parting? I think I quite like a side parting. I can't picture a man with a centre parting now.
Well, I can picture a man with a centre parting, but it's like weird.
Well, as someone myself with quite an extreme side parting, I guess I'd have to say no. I can't ban my fellow side parters to an island, unless they want to go, of course. But no, I don't think there's anything weird about a side parting, is there?
I don't know if maybe they're alluding to the old-fashioned thing called a comb-over.
Oh, could be. But you're tarring a lot of people with the same comb there if you say all side partings.
I mean, the only way, of course, you test that is in a wind. When it becomes do they not realise that? It does become painfully obvious.
Oh, yeah, but it must be so insecure. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that go with having a female body, but the idea of losing my hair fills me with such anxiety. I'm always very grateful not to be a man, just to not have to live through that.
And yet there's lots of role models for them with bald heads that don't actually have naturally bald heads. They choose them.
I suppose it's like anything, though. If it's forced upon you and you don't have a choice, you know, it's harder to make your mind up about it, isn't it?
For me, comb-overs are a no. I mean, you know, if you're losing your hair, you know, there's lots of other things you can do about it. You know, nail a small piece of carpet on there, paint it black. There's all sorts of things you can do. But a comb-over shouldn't be one of them. Not in a country that has wind and rain.
Well, the rain sort of sticks it down in a way.
Actually, it's such a horrible picture. We'd better move on. It's such a horrible picture. And you are so much kinder than I am. I can hear that you have real empathy for these people who are in this position where they potentially have to have a side parting with a very long piece of hair that they've combed over.
Yeah. Well, because it just strikes me that I don't think anybody's getting a comb over as their first choice, are they? You don't see people with a full head of hair having a comb over. So it does make me sort of feel like, oh, yay. Oh, babe, it's okay to be bald. It's fine. Like, don't worry. But I don't think you'd do that unless you were absolutely terrified of being found out to be bald.
I suppose my view is tainted by an experience I had when I was about 15. I was working in a shoe shop. Child labour was okay in those days. And I remember putting a pair of shoes on this man's feet. And as he bent down to fasten the laces, I could see that he was monk bald, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did, in fact, paint the top of his hair black. Top of his head black.
Wow.
Now, that in itself, I know what you're going to say, you know, because you know, you're the Mother Earth, yeah? but actually the worst thing was that actually his hair was brown.
Oh.
So why he then painted the top of his head black? You know, and as kind of like a 15-year-old girl, you know, you're standing there, you're not the most tactful creature at that age.
No.
And you haven't learned the dance phrases of, that's interesting. How unusual. You know, all the things that we use to just kind of cushion the blow. So you are actually just standing there with your mouth open.
At least it wasn't nowadays, though. Nowadays you'd be already texting someone and taking a surreptitious picture to put on your Instagram.
Very true. But I say the main thing I wanted to ask him was, why paint it black?
Maybe he didn't have brown shoe polish.
Good point.
I'm not excusing it, but hey, we've all gone to polish our shoes and gone, oh, balls, I haven't got the right colour. I'll have to do it this one and hope nobody notices.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council. Chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Listen, I don't think this is a real name. Jiggly Bits on Twitter.
Mm, possibly not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's cute. You can imagine a vicar at a christening.
What would be the second name? What would be the ideal second name to go with that?
Galore.
Jiggly Bits Galore. You not think that it's so exotic you should put something like Smith with it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Jiggly Bits Brown.
Yeah, there's a danger there that we go for Jiggly Brown Bits by mistake. Yeah. Okay, clearly this is a question for you because I don't even understand the words. What is a current hipster trend? What a hipster. That you're a bit fed up with? My current one is reclaimed wood tables. Gross.
Oh, a current hipster.
What's hipster?
Hipsters, you like. Trying to be cool and hippie and modern, but it's a bit too moneyed, I think is my understanding of it.
Okay.
So you're dressing like you dress in a charity shop, but Daddy's trust fund is sitting there untouched.
So if I was going to be ever so slightly controversial there, I would say something like Carrie Johnson's wedding dress.
Yeah, I'd say that's quite hipstery.
Did you see how much that cost?
No.
Although she did rent it.
Was it Spenny?
It was about £3,500.
Blimey.
I mean, there's no way that anybody in their right mind would pay more than £39.99 for that.
No, but there's no way anybody in their right mind would marry him.
I thought you liked everybody.
Yeah, I do. I like but... most people. I don't tend to like people that have applied and got a job that they're not qualified for and won't give it up despite making a terrible hash of it. So, yeah, I guess I'd wear a £3,500 bag to distract from the fact that I was doing that with my day.
I just don't know why she couldn't have got some shoes to go with it.
It's very bohemian.
Yeah. That's it, bohemian, I understand. Now I understand hipster, but I didn't get it before. So, a reclaimed wood table. I mean, you don't do those anymore. We did those back in, what, 30 years ago?
It's probably all back round now. I don't understand the fascination with records. Brighton's got several record shops, and I just think I can't believe I live in a time where you can go into town and buy records, but you can't go into town and buy CDs. That seems bizarre to me.
Why can't you buy CDs?
Well, nobody has CD players anymore. They're just completely gone. The technology's died. Oh, Jackie's pulling a face at me like, I've got a CD player right here. You go into town and try and buy a CD. Can't find them for love nor money, but records every other shop.
Right. Is it okay not to be a hipster?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'll be able to announce that with some slight confidence that I know what I'm actually saying, which at the moment is quite refreshing for me. Right, okay, so, it's clearly somebody is not happy with the hipster trend. Here we go again, Jacob 8. I have no idea, although I am fascinated with the idea of what happened to Jacob's 1-7.
Or do you have a big 8-year-old fan base? Is it Jackie Weaver and Minefield? That's all they're into.
Well, I'd never thought of that. But actually, this is a question for you. So are you likely to have any 8-year-old fans?
I do children's comedy sometimes, but it's not very good, so I can't imagine. No.
Okay, now he says he is a big fan. And then says, Jürgen Klopp?
Jürgen Klopp.
Jürgen Klopp is not good looking. He is just a bit weird. Change my mind.
Well, this is ludicrous. I don't need to change your mind. So Jürgen Klopp, Jackie, is the Liverpool football manager, a very sensible human being and also pretty handsome, but mainly sensible, and just comes out with nuggets of joyous common sense left, right and centre. So whoever this 8-year-old is, I'm sorry that you don't have the life experience to understand a good man when he falls under your nose, but I'm not even going to try and change your mind that he's decent. I'm just going to leave you by the wayside because then it's less competition for me.
I just Googled him and he looks to me a bit like Jamie Lannister.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
Well, Jamie Lannister is somebody that looks like Does that explain it better now?
I don't know who a Jamie Lannister is.
Yeah, I just like the look of him, about sort of 40 years older than he currently is. Okay. I wouldn't have him down as terribly good looking.
You have to hear him speak. You've got to hear him speak.
But that's not going to make him look better.
No, but I don't really care what people look like.
But that's not the question.
Oh, well, I don't know how to change somebody's mind. If somebody doesn't think someone's attractive, then that's okay, darling. I'm sure Jürgen Klopp doesn't think you're attractive.
You could try the direct approach of you're just wrong, I guess.
Yeah, but you can't be wrong over whether you find somebody attractive or not. You just do or you don't. Nobody is or isn't attractive. They are only found attractive.
Is that true?
Well, because it's subjective, isn't it? It's like nobody is funny. People are just found funny. Because I'm very funny to some people and funny as cholera to other people. So there's no sort of definitive this is or isn't funny. It's whether you do or don't find it funny. And I think it's the same with attractiveness.
I'm not so sure. I mean, think surely about comedy, that there might be an argument that people are not perhaps in, you know, somebody might be in a difficult place when they come and watch you one night. And whatever you do is not going to be funny because they're just not in a place where they're going to receive that. But surely you can be a little bit objective as to whether somebody's funny or not.
But what is funniness?
Things that make people laugh.
But you don't only laugh when something's funny. This is what I find fascinating about laughter, is that nobody really knows why humans laugh in the first place. We laugh for myriad reasons. So we laugh because of wordplay. We laugh to make a situation less uncomfortable. We laugh because of interaction. We laugh when we're awkward. We laugh for so many different reasons. And yet we're not entirely sure what does it. We've kind of pinpointed things that we're more likely to find funny. So rules of three are funny. We tend to laugh more when there are other people around rather than being on our own. But we don't really know what it is. So it's really hard to pin it down, I think.
And of course, mothers always know that phrase, when children laugh too much, that there will be tears. They are right.
Yes.
Still works for adults as
Yeah.
Well.
Yes. And when comedy's hilarious because, you know, if you listen to a band that you don't like, you go, nah, not that keen on that. But you don't say, it's not music. But when people hear a comedian that they don't like, they go, well, it's not comedy. It's not funny.
Right.
And you go, well, it is. You just don't like it, darling. But people get so angry about comedians they don't like. Oh, I hate him. You don't know him, love. You just don't like his jokes. This is fascinating how anger-inducing comedy can be.
I am definitely not ready for stand-up.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
Daria wants to say, my dad is obsessed with Spam and whenever he can, eats Spam. I don't think the rest of it rhymes. Oh, Spam on toast or just out of the tin. Is this acceptable in any way at all?
It doesn't sound the healthiest, does it? It sounds a little bit like his arteries might be in trouble eating that much Spam.
I mean, I don't dislike Spam, to be honest.
I don't think I've ever had it. Is it just mushy ham?
No, it's kind of... It's almost like a smooth version of what's inside a pork pie.
Okay, all right.
I definitely wouldn't eat it cold.
Right. Oh, it's
but
a heated
hot,
thing.
I think it's okay. Tastes a bit bacony.
I mean, it's not doing you any harm eating Spam out of a tin. Like, if he's doing it in the front garden in his underpants, shouting at the neighbours, maybe not a great idea. But if you want to delve into a tin of Spam in the privacy of your own home, I say go for it.
You are very non-judgmental, aren't you? You know, so here we have this man out in the garden shouting at the neighbours in his underpants, eating Spam out of a tin. And what should you go for is... not such a good idea. I'm sure he has his reasons.
Yeah. I just feel like your poor neighbours are going to have to sell up fairly rapidly.
Yeah, particularly on a Sunday when you're at church or something, you know, so that nobody actually sees, you know, we're not showing anybody around when you're out there with the spam. I think if you're eating anything out of a tin and we're not looking at a Bear Grylls situation, we have a problem.
Oh, okay. What about tinned peaches? Like, I'm intending to make a fruit salad with the rest of it, but just one I'm pinching out the top. Is that okay?
No.
Oh, okay. What about Nutella out of the jar?
It's a slippery slope. Not so much the Nutella. Nobody is going to slip on Nutella, that's for sure. Nothing moves if it's caught in Nutella. But no, slippery slope.
All right, okay, I will put a stop to that.
You see, you've already gone to two things. You know, it started with a peach. What about peanut butter?
I mean, you wouldn't be eating spoonfuls of peanut butter.
You're thinking about it, though.
It'd be so stuck in the roof of your mouth. My dog likes a spoonful of peanut butter. But I don't think I could do it.
But she's considering it.
Well,
you see, I told you, it's a slippery slope.
I'm thinking also, you're saving on a lot of washing up if you just eat things straight out the tin.
Yeah, what about all those germs?
What germs?
Oh, you're promising you're not going to double dip.
Yeah, that's true. I can't promise you that. All right.
Although with the peanut butter and the Nutella, you could make the argument that a spoon has two ends.
Yes. What about two spoons and you've got some of that washing stuff like they have in an ice cream parlour that they put the scoop back in to disinfect it between each thing?
What, dirty water?
Is that all that? Oh, I thought that was disinfect. Is that just what? Oh, well, that's ruined that.
Well, it's not going to be disinfectant, is it? You know.
That's true. That would be the ice cream. You know,
so then you do your ice cream and you've got to get through the first lick.
You've got to eat the bleach before you can have your flake.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm getting it pistachios in there now.
Oh, I just always assumed that was some kind of sterilising fluid.
I think we've probably put the whole nation off ice cream at least for the next 10 minutes until they forget. Because we do forget, don't we?
Yeah, all right.
Because it's going to be inconvenient to think of that as unpleasant, so we're just going to move on from there. Okay, an interesting one to finish on. Jerry on Twitter wants to know how often you should change your bed sheets.
Ooh, now this is going to be one of those things where I'm quite scared to say how often I do, just in case it's horribly too long. Look, ideally, every 2 weeks. In the summer, probably every week. But we've all had winters where it just hasn't happened. So let's not judge too quickly. Look, if you get into bed and you go, or that smells, then it needs washing, doesn't it?
I am horrified by your standards.
I said ideally once a week is the dream.
Yeah, but the reality you're telling me is that you wait till it smells.
Not every time. But it's just one of those jobs that's so annoying because by the time you've got it all off and you get it in the washing machine and then you go about your day and then you get tired and you go to bed and you go, oh, I've got to put bedclothes back on. But it's practically impossible to just do the whole job in one. Nobody can do that. Oh.
Yeah, you see, I'm now building up this picture. The bedroom is a kind of no-go area health-wise. The kitchen's not much better because plates have just been abandoned.
And tins.
Yeah, straight out the tin or jar. Yeah.
I'm quite neat and tidy. And I'm better now I have a house where I have a tumble dryer and a washing line outside. So now washing and drying sheets doesn't mean my living room looks like I'm making a tent fort, you know, for 2 weeks. So that's easier. But see, this is why I'm not judgy on other stuff, because every now and again I uncover something about myself that is disgusting. And I hope that people are kind to me. So that's why I'm like, yeah, you go, babe. You eat your spam and punch a cyclist and you do you. And I'll just be over here in my gross little bed loving my football manager. See you later.
Do you know, I have a feeling that's a different podcast. Laura Lex, it's been a delight talking to you this afternoon. What have you got coming up in the next day, week, month, year?
I have the last few dates of my tour. If you are in the southeast, check that out, lauralex.co.uk. I have a book on sale, Klopp actually, about said football manager and my love for him. And I will have my second novel, Pivot, out next year. So wow. Buy that.
So what's this second novel about?
It's about a women's netball team. A team of women in the local village that suddenly realise they don't have any hobbies somehow, and they start a little netball team.
Okay. Had they tried knitting?
Well, I like to knit, but you don't really meet people through knitting, do you? Knitball.
Could be actually, like there you are.
Yeah. We could come up with a sort of mixture one.
If I would like to see that in the book somewhere. I will be looking out for it. Laura, lovely to have spent some time with you. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Laura for her time, and thank you for listening. Remember all the housekeeping bits and bobs. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackie Weaver and follow the podcast at Jackie Weaver Pod. Any questions you have for a future episode, email jackie@giddyauntcomedy.com. If you haven't already, please press subscribe or follow on your podcast app. And if you're feeling so inclined, you can support the show on Patreon. That's all for today's show. Thank you for listening. And remember, you do have the authority. Bye for now.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver has the authority.
Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.